Welcome to The Divorce Social with me, Samantha Baines, changing the conversation around divorce. This show is sponsored by Penguin in the Room. Penguin in the Room is an award-winning arts marketing and social media management company. If you want to jazz up your socials and have someone Instagram and tweet for you, then here's your answer. Go to www.penguinintheroom.com. As always, hit subscribe to make sure you're updated about new episodes. And we love to hear from you on social media at DivorcePod and at Samantha Baines. You can also email us. All the info's on our website, thedivorcesocial.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Yeah, I'm doing the talk. Doing the introduction. Look, it's my massive face on the screen. Hello, everyone. Thanks for coming. Give yourselves a cheer for coming to live shows. Yes, you socially distanced beauties. This is the Divorce Club with me, Samantha Baines. Did not realise that would be quite as big as it was, because I wouldn't have put my face on it. It's a bit like, hello, me. This is the Divorce Club. I recently got divorced and I couldn't talk to anyone else about it. So I very selfishly started a podcast so I could talk to other people about what I was going through and ask advice. And lovely people listen to it and like it. And so here we are. Let me introduce my brilliant guests this evening. Both of these lovely ladies have done episodes of the Divorce Club that you can listen to where we get all in depth and stuff. Today we're going to have a bit of fun. So first of all, we've got Helen Thorne, comedian and divorcee.
Hello!
Yeah, something to be proud of.
Yes, and I just want to say I've got an infection in my eye. I'm not just winking at you all, okay? So I just look stoned on one side of my face, so that's nice.
But also that because you are single.
Yes, so. Yeah, I'm single and it happened in a hot tub, so that's, anyway. Let's not talk about what ended up in my eye, so that's fine.
We will get into that later. And my other lovely guest is Leila Hussein. She's a psychotherapist and activist and divorcee.
Happily divorced.
Happily divorced
is the title I like to go with.
Oh, I like it. Yeah, happily divorced. I feel like we all are.
Yes, absolutely.
And that's and not just because I have wine in this mug, so that you... I have red wine in it. Hello, Saturday night. Mm. So we're gonna.
I don't know what you're talking about. Have water in my eyes.
She has water. She's very good. So we're gonna talk about all lovely divorced things, which are obviously lovely and not so lovely. And then there will be space for you to ask questions as well, if you fancy, at the end. So if there's anything bubbling away, make a little mental note, and we'll come to it at the end. But I think to start off, I always start the podcast by saying, you are divorced. How does that make you feel? Helen,
yes. Well, I'm quite fresh. So I've been separated for 6 months. So it was a surprise. 2 weeks before lockdown, my husband left. And yes, so I did all of lockdown, those first 3 months going... And then nobody could hug me, which was great. So I, as I said on the podcast, I feel like I did like separation divorce boot camp because I just had to feel all the feelings by myself. So I'm very fresh. So consequently, yes, now I've been doing lots of catching up for that because I got married or I started seeing my husband when I was 19. So I've never dated before. So now I'm just like, all the cock. Yeah. I'm very excited about my new status.
Am I allowed to ask you when was the last time you had a penis in you?
I want to know.
10 hours ago. There we go. Thank you very much.
Hello,
Mum, if you're listening at home. Yes. My ex-husband.
She had sex, you had children.
Yes, exactly. So that was because I have 2 nights off a week, so then I have to get the roster sorted in advance, as you do as a mother, you know, sort the school lunches, who you're going to flip, who you can have sex with this weekend. So all those sort of things. It's just about scheduling. Anyway, is everyone still here? Or they're all just being sick in their mouths behind their masks?
As sex is always about scheduling, as we all know. So Layla's looking at me with eyes like, do not ask me when I last had a penis in me. And that's fine, I won't. Layla, you are divorced. How does it make you feel?
Oh, I was happy. I couldn't wait to get out. That's why I keep using the term happily divorced, because I think I became a happier person. I was nice again. I couldn't wait to get out. And I was like you, I got married at 18, so I married my first boyfriend. I mean, I'm Somali, you marry your first boyfriend. I mean, that's just the way it is. Like, there's no other space to date other people. So for me, it was, fuck, I'm out of this. So I didn't care. I actually remember when I asked for divorce, he declared himself bankrupt. So I didn't ask for childcare. I was like, I don't care, I'm still out. I really did not give a shit. Like, hence why I never got married again, which is quite interesting. It's been 18 years since I...
Yes, I love all this cheering. In London during a pandemic, I didn't expect it, but I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not against the whole... I mean, if you want to get married, it's fine. I think there are other ways of celebrating the person you're with. I'm all about celebrating your love, but it doesn't have to be something you sign to the government, which I'm really, even though you pay less tax from what I've heard, so I don't know. I've had friends.
You're really selling it.
Actually, that was
amazing.
The invite. One of my really close friends, like, the invite was, she goes, guys, we're going to get married. It means we pay less tax. Please turn up. Okay, we'll turn up for this one. It's fine.
What a lovely sentiment.
It was such a great wedding.
When I got married, I was really worried about my wedding invitations. And I think it's because it's the first thing you do when you're engaged. So you put so much attention into, like, and you're like, oh my God, I want someone to frame it and keep it forever. It's beautiful. But I like that maybe if I get married again, I'll just put, I'm going to save on tax. Please come. Just a little handwritten note.
But you know what? But it was also the vows. Have you seen this whole... I mean, I got married in 1999. Oh my God, that just shows how old I am. And the vows were still, I obey, all that stuff. But recently, this particular close friend of mine who got married for the tax reasons, the vows were, we're going to be together till we can. And... you know, and remain friends. Hopefully we'll remain friends through this process. And I thought, oh my God, it's the most honest vows I've ever heard. Because the other ones are just bullshit, like blackmailing, like... And I thought, this is my people. This is the kind of wedding I want. You know, can we be together until we actually like each other? If we don't, we just go our separate ways. To me, that sounds like a great vow.
As long as we can.
As long as we can. I literally laughed and cried at that wedding. It was so funny. But it was the most honest wedding I've been to. Because the rest is like, I'm going to be with you to, you know, life and death. And
I have found my soulmate. We will be together forever.
How did I work out?
No.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry. Should have been, we'll be together till we can. Yeah. And the lockdown happened.
That's right. There seems to be some clauses. If there's another lockdown or a pandemic, then we're done.
Yeah. So Layla, it sounds like you wouldn't get married again, but you'd be with someone.
Well,
long
term. For me, I wouldn't do the traditional marriage. I would still have a ceremony. I mean, I've always wanted to have like a wedding that was like a carnival on the beach with no shoes on. I mean, I, again, being Somali, I don't know, there's no Somalis in this room. Okay. Any other Africans? Oh, yeah, they're Somali. So you know what the hell I'm talking about. Like Somali weddings, we have like 70% of the guests, you don't even know who the fuck they are. It's like your family members you haven't seen in ages. I don't want that kind of wedding again. I would like to celebrate love and connection. And but for me, it would be in a beach somewhere where I don't have to invite all the family members. I don't know, be good friends. And there'll be like caravan, like foods and ice cream. And yeah, it would be a festival. That's what I would want. And I don't want to wear heels anymore. Those, like the women are tortured at weddings, in my opinion. You had pins in my hair and I had this massive earring going on the side. And I was like, no, I wouldn't do that again.
I remember being in the toilet at my wedding with my maid of honour and her holding up my wedding skirt and me trying to take my spanks off.
Yeah, it's not fun. It wasn't
Which
fun.
They
yeah,
don't
women
plan
never have
that
fun.
Into a wedding dress. It's no. like incredibly hard to go to the toilet.
Yeah.
It's dreadful. I did a most insane thing for my wedding dress. So I got engaged when I was pregnant and then shopped for my wedding dress when I just, after I'd given birth. So like boobs in plenty and like maternity bras and milk leaking. And I went, and I all I wanted for my wedding dress was a Vivienne Westwood dress. And I remember going into Vivienne Westwood with my pram, my massive boobs. And I said, I want that dress. And I was a size 18. And they said, okay, yeah, try it on. And I said, okay, but no, I wanted it at 12. And they're like, you can't return it if you break it. Give me the fucking 12. So I bought a size 12 dress, even though I was fat. And then I didn't try on that dress until 10 minutes before I walked down the aisle because I was insane. And so I basically breastfed my child until I got thin, which is, you know, highly recommend. I mean, everyone wins. The child gets big, you get small.
That makes sense.
And so I just hoped that I would fit into it, and I did, and it took two women to kind of hoik me in, and my boobs were overflowing. But I wouldn't recommend that to anybody, to buy a dress three sizes too small.
We changed two or three times at the wedding.
Oh.
Can you confirm
that?
Smile, but there you go. We literally changed three times. So you really don't enjoy the wedding. You're busy changing clothes the whole time.
Yes. would you get married again, Helen? And what dress size would you buy?
Well, I would buy one I could eat a lasagna in. I think I would just buy the dress that fitted me that day instead of kind of... But I think, you know, I was young and naive and you had this idea, like, you can't be a fat bride. You have to be the thinnest because that is success. That is, you know, you are more if you are less in size and taking up less room. And so I think it's a weird thing and everyone goes on their diet and does all their kettlebells and things like that. So, yeah, I'd just be me, I think, next time round and not try and... Now that I'm older and slaggier and give less fucks about... basically anything and everything. I just want to have a good time and not fulfill anyone else's expectations but my own.
I think I actually like rebelled against the whole wedding you have to lose weight thing. Mm. And my dad had just died. If that was an omen that I shouldn't have got married, I don't know what it is. My dad was like, I'm gonna die now, just to don't worry, you can laugh, it's okay, I'm fine, he's not, he's dead. But my dad died on my hen do. This is my real life, not a soap. Yeah. So and my best friend said to me afterwards, I feel like we should have known then. So my dad had died and I was getting ready for like planning this wedding, which is meant to be a very happy day. And I think I was like, I'm not going to thin down. I don't like it when, you know, you don't recognize the bride. So I'm going to eat more. So I think... I was the biggest I've ever been at my wedding, and I did a BBC show. I won't say which one, but I was filming a BBC show, and we had the read through before my wedding. So we met everyone, and you meet the costume people, and they do a fitting. And then I had my wedding, and then I came back, and I was filming the BBC show, and I overheard one of the makeup women saying, "I mean, normally you lose weight for your wedding, not put it on." And I'm like, but true. Oh,
true.
But I think if I got married again, I'd just eat a normal amount. Mm. But I would I would definitely want a Vivienne Westwood dress.
But you know what? Somalis, a bride should have more weight when she gets married. So we celebrate bigger women. If you're skinny, you're told, how are you going to feed your husband? Is he going to feed you? Is he going to feed you? Like, because I was actually quite skinny. So that was seen as a negative thing. So it's interesting how in the West, you need, as a bride, you have to lose weight. In the Somali, well, in Africa, the bigger you are, the better. The more eligible you are for marriage if you're bigger.
Oh, I like that.
Go to Africa, girls. That's what you need to be.
Let's all go. So we've been talking about celebrating marriage, and then obviously all of our marriages ended. And Layla, I know you're a big fan of the phenomenon that is the divorce party.
Yes.
Now, I've always assumed that a divorce party is like, you know, women in leopard print cackling and like... hitting penis straws and demolishing them and like being a nuisance. But you have totally sold me on the divorce party. So can you let everyone know what it is?
So being a happily divorced woman. So I thought, okay, we celebrate weddings. Why can't we celebrate when you fucking get a fucking freedom? Like divorce to me is freedom. So you coming out of a bullshit situation, it should be celebrated. So one of my really good friends who came out of a very horrible divorce, I thought, you know what? We're going to fucking throw you a party. And we got the cake. And she had a bottle of champagne from her wedding that she actually hasn't drank.
What?
And
I hope it wasn't 20 years
ago. But we didn't even know about this until she brought it to the actual party. But we got her a cake that said, what the fuck was I thinking of? With his face on it. And we had the best time. Because I think you have to, you have to celebrate if you, listen, historically we gave women like Liz Taylor, like who got married like 9 times, such a hard time. But I watched her interviews when I was going through a divorce, as you do. And
I read her autobiography.
No, seriously. Something stuck with me. She said, I'd rather have lovers till the day I die than have a horrible relationship. And that really stuck with me. So for me, it was like, I don't want to be stuck in a very different... So when women or men, friends who get out of a terrible relationship, it's like, let's celebrate. Because we celebrate weddings. Why can't we celebrate this? So anyone is about to get divorced, or you're nearly divorced... It's a party to look forward to. I've been asking my friends. They really haven't hosted mine just yet.
Yes. We've got some fans.
Yay! We need to have the divorce festivals. Yeah.
Then can you have the great thing about the marriages, you have like the hen party. So you have like the double party. But no, just the one. I'm being greedy, aren't I?
Well, yes. You could, I guess, for each stage of the divorce, could have a party.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
You have like Decree Nisi party. Where you all dress up as judges or something.
Nice, yes.
No, nice eye.
Nice eye.
Jokes. And then you could have the Decree Absolute where you only drink Absolute vodka.
Oh, yes, exactly. I'll get a sponsor for that one. Yeah.
But again, I think culture plays such a big role. Like, again, being Somali, I wish I went through the angry stage when I was divorced. Like, I was supposed to, like, keep it calm, act like you don't give a shit. But I wish I burnt his clothes or like got a baseball bat and just bashed his car. I think that would have been good for me mentally. But because I was told to be polite and don't do it. But I think it's okay to go through that stage when you so let them know they really fucked you off. I wish I had that stage. I kind of missed out on that stage.
I know my mum's friends, like my mum's in her 70s, and her friend said to me, have a smashing up party, as in go to a charity shop and buy all the crockery and take bats and go into a field with your girlfriends and just smash the shit out of crockery and having a smash up party. And I thought, that's great.
I agree.
Fuck shit up.
And
Yep. Yeah, I think that's really...
Burn some stuff.
Is this
one of the podcasts to go to?
She's not going to podcast
for inciting violence.
Why did I invite these women on my show?
It's going to a weird place, but I like it. Also, I've never heard of this. So you just buy loads of crockery.
Buy loads
second
of crockery.
And smash it.
Just smash it up with some bats.
Oh, Sam, you've got so much things you need to do. Smashing crockery.
I'm so up for it.
Divorce party. You've got a lot of things you need to get.
I feel like we need to write some sort of book or pamphlet. Yes. It's like when you're a doctor's surgery, it's like, are you going through this? And they're just like some nice diagrams with some angry women and bats.
Just photos like... of us drunk smashing things. I feel like that wouldn't incite anyone to go into a divorce.
No.
But when you've gone through it, you would want to smash stuff. I should ask, actually, of the people who are here, lovely socially distanced people, there is one man who I feel like I keep making eye contact and he looks like, why am I here? And he's with a woman, so I don't know if you're married and she's brought you along to be like, this is what's going to be your future. You know, and it's important like, don't mess with me. Communicate. But by a sort of raise of hand and any noise you would like that represents your feelings right now, raise your hand and make a noise if you're divorced. Okay.
Oh,
okay,
we've got wonderful.
Some good. Well, there's a Somali divorced woman. High five. Like, we don't come out. We don't usually like publicly come out to people, so it's a big deal.
Love it.
Good for you.
Well, thank you for coming out to us. And raise your hand and make a noise if you're thinking about getting divorced. No one's going to own up to
that's
one.
That's right.
The lady sitting next to the man didn't.
Who's
put
thinking
her
about
hand
getting
up.
Married?
That's the next question.
Yeah. Is anyone? Well, I won't say happily. Is anyone married? Put your hand up and make a noise.
Oh, that's lovely.
Hello.
Oh.
Hey.
And that well was a done. Sort of ooh noise.
Hey.
A bit like an alarm.
We can only wish you luck.
I think that's nice, though. I think I've ignored everyone else who's not married or divorced. Because anyone else who wants to raise their hand and make a noise just for fun? Yeah, okay, that's just my sister. So, well done, Emily. So I think it's lovely that we've got some actual married people here.
Yes, lovely. They're very welcome as well.
This is so good, though. How healthy, I think, for a married couple. Like, lots of people get in touch with me who've listened to the podcast, and they're like, I'm happily married, but I enjoy the podcast. And I've had to, like, create a visual graphic that mm-hmm. says, I don't want to get divorced, I just like the podcast. So they can show their other half. But I think it's very healthy that you've come. So I think we should give them some advice. So what advice, as divorced
oh,
people,
no.
God. Be nice, would you give a married couple or someone thinking about getting married as we've been out the other end?
I'm going to hand this one to Layla. She's more experienced.
Do you know what? I say this to every... When my friends were getting married, they always ask me. I'm like, you know, I've been divorced for a while. I'm the last person you should ask this question to. But my thing is always, you have to treat it like business. Like any business, any startups. If you're an entrepreneur, exactly that's how you treat a marriage. It's like do I like this? Every couple of weeks, do I like this person? Is it working out? What do we need to do to make it work? I mean, I ask the most random question, like, what do you want from this? I scared men who I date. Like, I always ask that question. So I think it's important to always check. A check-in is important in any type of relationship. I think we forget that in a marriage because like, people get lost in this like, oh, you know, fairy tale, it's all lovely and great. But actually, you might have a bad day. It's like, do I still want... And especially for women, I think there's a conditioning of if you're married, that's it. You don't talk about it ever again. But I think as a woman, you need to ask, do I need to be in this? Do I have my needs in this marriage? So I think, and going to, if I can recommend one big thing, go into therapy straight away. I'm telling you, my friends who are now in therapy, tell me it's the best thing they've ever done for their marriage. It's good to go and check in with someone else because then you're going to sound like you're the crazy person the whole time. So it's nice to have someone else tell you you're crazy. So just have a therapist, treat it like business. I mean, because you know, we do that with our business, right? If we run a business, we check, is it working? What do we need to do to make it better? I think marriage should be treated the exact same way and have a therapist to help you facilitate that conversation.
I totally agree. I think you should get a logo for your marriage.
And schedule... Schedule sex. Yes, I think spontaneous sex is overrated. Like, if it happens, great.
Yeah.
But we're busy people.
This is what I'm saying. Get the admin sorted.
Get scheduled. Yeah. You're like, hey, I'm coming over next weekend. Just letting you know. I'm going to be around for 24 hours, so let's have a great time. Like, you need to schedule this shit in. Because, you know, I schedule sex.
But does that take the fun out of it?
I think it's fun. Once you get going, it's always fun. Like it's, you know, like you, hey, when halfway hey. Through sex, you just
organized sex can still be fun.
Yeah,
it's how you do it.
Love that we're both pointing at this. No, it is cool.
I like the sound of organised sex as well. Like, all the bits go in the right compartments.
Yes, exactly that's how right. It works.
Let me tell you need to tell some men that. It's like, make sure you move the right way.
A, B, C, D. But I have a theory and I have an idea that we should have a marriage MOT every year. In that every year...
High five.
We're touching!
Oh my God, stop touching each other.
Right, we'll
don't tell Boris Johnson that we
but
did this.
I honestly, having been in a relationship for 22 years and at the end of it, I just thought, God, every year we just have to check in about what we want, what we need, are they okay, are you okay, all those sort of things. And, you know, finances, all that sort of shit. And I think that's so important. And just talk about the things that are hard, because I think it's really easy in a marriage to just kind of sweep it under the carpet and sort of just function rather than actually thrive. So I think that would be a really good thing. That's what I would say. And like, go away for the weekend and just say all the stuff. And then schedule in the fucking, and then that all have a lovely time. Yes. But I think it's okay to say things are broken or that you're not happy.
But also it's okay not to be married to that person for the rest of your life. I think there's this conditioning again. Oh, we've been married for 65 years. It's like, really? Like, because we change over the years. I got married when I was 18. I'm a totally different woman now. I'm going to be 40 next month. So for me, it's like I'm a whole different person. So I could not be with my ex-husband right now. So it's okay to be with somebody at certain stages of your life. That's okay.
Yes. The round of applause. I think I totally agree, especially about the therapist, which might sound crazy to newly married people, but definitely if you can get into couples therapy, because it's just going to make you communicate so much better and understand more about each other. And I never did that with my ex, but therapy on my own for myself since I've been divorced has been like incredible, and I've learned so much about myself. And I know like a certain generation of people think, oh no, I'll just deal with my problems, I shouldn't tell them to anyone else. But honestly, like I can say, and everyone I think I've interviewed on the podcast who's been divorced has said that therapy helped them so much. And, you know, you can get it on the NHS if you can't afford it. Like, you can be referred by your GP. And I do think that's so important. And I would say to anyone who's married about divorce, sign a prenup. No, I'm joking. Although I probably would do that next time. I'd say communication is so important, and also sex is so important. And I know it's like a prudish thing that we don't really like, you know, it's always the joke of like, oh, we're married, so we don't have sex anymore. And everyone sort of nods along, but that's so sad that that's the most common marriage joke. And I do think sex in relationships is so important, and also sex when you're divorced is so important.
Well,
people are like, yes,
we've been comparing notes backstage, yes. Layla and I. I think that's completely true. And I think, so I'm in a comedy double act called Scummy Mummies, and a lot of our comedy is about sort of the awkwardness and the hardship of having children and being married. And I always used to do this joke saying we used to have sex once a year, or as we like to call it, annual sex. Love a bit of annual. Would laugh, and then there would be people who put up a hand in the audience and say, no, I've got a tip, if you do it at the stroke of midnight on New Year's Eve, it counts for both years, so it's fine, there's your little hack. But it just becomes, it's that weird sadness but truth, is that you stop having sex because you're too tired and you're busy and you just fucking hate each other. So, you know, like, it's they're the barriers that kind of, you know, come between you.
But also, you know each other's, you know, especially, I was only with my husband we were married for a year and a half, but we were together for 8 years. But even in that time, like, you know their body so well and they know your body so well that it becomes just going through the motions, like driving. I can't drive, but I imagine like driving.
Just a bit of this, just
yeah,
a
like, bit of steering here and shops. There.
Yeah.
Oh, I've got to have sex with my husband.
Yeah.
But I do think like keeping the excitement is a huge part of.
But that's why scheduling it is so important. Actually, you have to plan it.
She's back to this
she's
again.
Back to the diary. I cannot express that enough. Like, yeah. Plan it. Because we are, and women are now, you know, they have their own careers. You know, we're not like the usual typical wives who just waited for the husband to come home. Now we have our own lives. So if you schedule 3 times a week.
Pardon? What?
Hello.
3 times a week.
Yes, please.
That's a lot of work.
That's good. On
but
one day?
Schedule it. Yeah, I think this whole scheduling thing needs to be made more fun and like try it, please, audience. Let us know when you schedule it. You'll realise actually you've got something to look forward to on a Tuesday evening. You know what I mean? Like, do you know what I mean? So I think
3 times a week is incredible. I have like a cleaner fortnightly. And I think that's quite a lot.
By the way, that was being me, you know, it's, even if it's 1 week, just make sure you schedule it in. I think it's something to look forward to. Mm. You know, when you're even mad at him, you're like, you know what? I'm going to fuck you next week, like tomorrow. We're gonna get it together in 2 days, you know? Like, at least you know you've got something to come back to. I think it's not planning. And I don't like these jokes about married couple. I mean, I was lucky. It's very rare with Somali families. I had very sensual parents who did not, like, they're humped around the house. That was not very common. We were sent to the park.
Ah.
We knew what that meant.
So they sent you to the park and went then they to, like, so had
we were sent
in
to the park.
Kitchen.
And then, yeah, I sadly have caught my parents having sex a few times around the house, deeply traumatized by that stuff. But as an adult, I really appreciate now that, you know, my mom did say to me, she goes, what, you think we were married for 35 years because we were good friends? You know? She goes, there's a lot of work, you know, he needs to be happy, I need to be happy, you know. And then she showed me, and my mom, by the way, was the big jilbab, but she had a box of lingeries. She goes, this is how I survived in this marriage. And I really appreciated that because she didn't make it sound like, oh yeah, you know, we got together, it was all lovely. No, she goes, there was a lot of work involved. Actually, when I got married, my mom bought me my lingerie because she said, this is how you're going to survive in this marriage. But sex was something that was passed on to me. Like, it was very important. And I think especially, I keep coming back to women, I think it's women who got lost in relationships. It's the women who don't feel they're sexy enough. You know, we have the babies and the boobs are now sagging places that they shouldn't be. And you're like, shit, you know, what happened to my hips? You know, so we question our bodies. So I think women need to make sure they are having sex for their own mental well-being more than anything else.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting if we talk about sex post-divorce as well, because there's obviously sex in a marriage where you're really used to someone, and then you come out into the big wide world, and I know I didn't feel confident, like I didn't feel sexy, I didn't think anyone would want to have sex with me, and then I went on a little bit of a rampage.
A consensual
rampage, but I was so excited that people wanted to have sex with me that I was like, oh my God, okay, let's go. And then I was brought up Roman Catholic. So I think I had I'd just been married and been with one person for nearly a decade. So I had this idea that I was being a slut during that period and that I should feel like shame about the fact that I wanted to have sex with people and, you know, enjoy pleasure. And it was something that I had to like get over my own prejudice within myself. But it was very fun. I had a lot of orgasms and I did have sex with a waiter on duty in the toilets in a private members club.
Yes! Yes, Samantha!
Thank you.
Oh, Samantha, that should go in your pack, like the divorce club book.
I thought you were going to say my pack lunch.
Pack lunch too?
Little note.
But that's the key word, orgasm. And orgasm is not necessarily with a guy. There are toys, ladies, these days that you can... Literally, I'm a psychotherapist, so I work with other therapists, and one of the conversations we have all the time is like, what do you do when you're going through a crisis? And recently we added masturbation and pleasure. It's actually part of our mental well-being. That language has never been used. It's like, okay, do you want to feel better? Make sure you go to a spa. I mean, you can't go during COVID, but it was drink lots of water. Do you have a vibrator at home? Masturbate, like all day, just to make yourself feel better.
I love it. Drink lots of water and masturbate.
Hydrate, masturbate.
Yeah.
Stay home, masturbate.
Stay home, hydrate, masturbate.
A lot of people stay home for that. Yeah. Like, oh my God, they should have hired us as their advisors.
I know. Because really. The campaigns for the pandemic are changing all the time. Like at the moment, it's like cats, face, space. But I feel like stay home, hydrate, masturbate.
Oh my God, well, that'd be so great.
It's like an extension of eat out to help out. But more practical.
It is, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, incredible. Yeah. So, Helen, obviously we heard that you've had a lot of cock and you did a shimmy earlier about it, which
you.
I love.
For the viewers at home.
How has your post-divorce sexual life been?
Well, especially because the first 3 months it was in lockdown. So I got onto Tinder and things like that. And the only way I could meet men was online. So I'd be texting and sexting and phone sex and the other thing. Oh, what's it called? You know, like Zoom sex.
Zoom.
Well, not on Zoom, but on like WhatsApp
FaceTime,
video.
FaceTime video.
So,
and you have to pay for a certain version of Zoom that lasts for longer than 45 minutes.
But right. So like Zoom sex is like the opposite of a Zoom meeting, is that you only film the lower half of you, right? And it's and people want to be there, and you do it legitimately from your bedroom, and it finishes when everyone comes. That's lovely. So I sort of discovered all that sexual stuff because I really just wanted to have sex. There's something that happens to your brain when you become separated, and women don't talk about this enough. Is that suddenly something is turned on. It is that, well, it's my vagina is turned on. That's what's turned on, not something.
That's happily divorced.
But I didn't have that thing where I was going out getting pissed with my friends or, you know, I was just trying to navigate all these feelings at home. But then when I was allowed to go out, on the rampage, I got my roster sorted out. Like I'd lined them all up. But again, I'd been with the same man for 22 years and hadn't felt desired. He didn't express that, especially in the last few years. So just having someone say you're sexy and you're beautiful was a lovely thing, and I really enjoyed that. So I've had a few one night stands. I had like the kids went away for a couple of weeks, and then I was like, right, line them up. And
with an Excel sheet.
And that was great. And I am in no hurry to be in a relationship. And I'm really... And there was one night when a guy could only come over for 3 hours. And I was like, right. And this is this liberating thing, which I didn't know about 22 years ago when I started dating, is that people say, this is what I want, this is what I'm into. And you say, this is what I like. And it's all sort of very upfront and really kind of exciting. And then you go into these one-night stands or these, encounters sort of feeling... okay about it. I don't know what it's like for you guys, but like it, and that's how it should be. You can talk, really openly and comfortably about sex, and that's all right. Yeah.
I sort of like it when I realised that it could be like a business transaction.
Yes.
Like they go, I'm bringing this to the table. And smack it on
negotiate.
The table. And then you go, I'm bringing this to the table, this is what I like. And then you both agree to your... It's like a divorce. You both agree to your terms.
Yes.
And then you have a lovely time. And then you can just send them on their way.
Yeah.
I think when I realised that no one had to sleep next to me in my bed
isn't
after
that amazing?
I have sex with them...
It's great.
...was like a revelation.
Yeah.
And not in a mean way. I'm not like... Get in, get out, go. But like,
I mean, I'm a cuddler. I like cuddling and hugging, but I do like a few days to myself. I think it's important, especially during PMSing. Like, don't come near me. I don't want any guy. I want to have cheese balls in bed with my ripped pajamas and just don't want to be judged.
And also, like, you can have a lovely time. You can go out on a date and then have sex, have a lovely time together. You don't have to like do the awkward sleepover and then get up in the morning. Like, should we have sex again, or should we have breakfast, or should I make
unless
you?
Unless you have that
coffee.
Discussion well ahead, and plan it.
I had that.
It's all about the planning.
If you schedule morning sex, come on, that's one of the best.
You've got to wash your teeth first, please. Brush, brush them.
You sneak out very early. I'll help you write that guide.
What?
I'll help you write the guide.
The guide, yes. No, I had
the scheduling.
I had a one night stand, and I wasn't expecting to stay over. And so I was in my nighttime gear, right? So I had like a glitter bomber jacket and my high heels and my jumpsuit. And then I had to do kind of like the walk of shame to come home. But it was about 10 a.m. in the morning, and then that I would bump into like mums with their kids going out for the day, going, "Hi, Helen," like. Why are you coming back from the city while we're going to the Natural History Museum?
Don't look at me.
I knew exactly what I'd been doing. Exactly, yeah, with my glitter.
But they were probably jealous.
Probably.
So we've talked a bit about the sex side of things, which I enjoyed. And what about the mental health side of things? So I have anxiety generally, and I feel like I had a lot of anxiety at the end of my marriage, all wrapped up with, is this okay? Should we end it? Oh my God, what's going on? And my end of my marriage was, we call, amicable, in that we both sat down and went, I think we should break up, and we sort of agreed together. So I think it was weird for me mental health wise, because I felt like I couldn't be angry, because there wasn't like an event that I could be angry at, or something that he'd done that I could be angry at or sad about, because it had also been my decision. And it was a real whirlwind of emotion for me at that time, because I was angry. And it took me a long time to then get that out. And I was really sad. And I was also really happy because I was free. And sometimes there's just so much emotion, you don't know what to do with it. And as a person with anxiety, I think that came out of me in very strange ways. So did you feel, is there anything particularly you felt at that time, and what was useful for you to get through that or to help you?
I started seeing a psychotherapist pretty much straight away, because I knew I needed that, and also I didn't have that physical comfort. I had like this weird need to be hugged and things like that, which I couldn't and didn't get for 3 months. And I spoke to lots of friends who'd been through it, and also it's a weird door that opens, that like a friend will say, oh, I know a friend who's gone exactly through what you've gone through, and it's sort of like this special club, isn't it? They say, I'm going to talk to you for an hour because I'm going to tell you how I survived. So you're in this amazing kind of support group. And I'm a giver.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
I like giving people like lasagnas, and I'm a carer and I'm a happy person. So for the first time, I feel like in my whole life, I had to accept help. And I found that the hardest thing, absolutely hard, because I just wanted to cope. I'm a comedian and I'm positive and I'm sunny and I'm always a glass half full sort of person. And I was like, it's okay. This is, you know, it's a gift that he's given me. Really it is. I've got this whole new opportunity, and I kept making it sunny. I kept making it positive. And, you know, I had my children with me and I did make it positive and sunny for them. But the best advice was, a friend of mine who's a psychologist said, it's okay to be angry. And that was the hardest thing. The hardest thing was just to be, because I think I didn't want to be angry. I think that was the hardest thing to sort of face, going, this fucking awful thing has just happened to me. I didn't do anything. My marriage is over. I didn't want it to be over. But this is the situation I'm in. And then I think it took me a couple of months just to go, I hate him. I really fucking hate him. I hate what he's done to me. I hate the situation I'm in, and that's okay. So that would be the advice, to kind of just own those feelings and not try and paper it over. Because I think that's, as women, we're told to do that. Make it nice. Just make it nice. You know, tidy up, tidy the edges, make other people feel comfortable about your situation. Because I think that's often, you don't want other people to feel bad for you. Going, I'm coping. I'm coping. Everything's fine. Everything's great. But yeah, just own the shittiness of it. Own the hell, and know that it's going to end eventually with lots of cock.
A good time. Always comes back to the cock. Yeah. Did you do anything in particular to let that anger out? Because I bought a inflatable punch bag and professional punching gloves during lockdown.
Wow.
As an attempt to, and I sort of did it in my garden, and I wore like a bikini top and shorts. So I felt like I was in the OC and was like punching this punching bag. And it actually really helped. Mm. Inflatable punching bags are great. Did you have anything like that?
No. But recently I've got into weightlifting, and that has been the most kick-ass, badass thing I've ever done. And I go to an all-women's gym and I lift really heavy weights and I sweat, and every week I get stronger. And that, again, I would say to people, is a great way to get the anger out. And I talk about how much I hate him, and she's like, put on another 5 kilos on the end of the thing. I'm like, yes, fuck it, yes, I'm going to lift this. And like, the anger makes you strong and powerful. It's absolutely amazing. So yeah, just lifting heavy shit is great.
My experience was, I wasn't even allowed to be angry. Like, by the women around me, it was like, don't show them, don't show you're angry, like, move on, get married to another guy. I mean, literally that was, but that's what I was saying earlier. I wish I did have that space to be angry. I can burn shit, you know, like burn his clothes or smash up his car. I think that's needed. I think it's important to actually express it, because in terms of your mental health, when you suppress feelings, what it does, it only eats you up. And I think that's what happened to me. And also there's a shame. But what happened to me specifically, all my married friends dumped me because the fear was I was going to steal their husbands now. So there was like, you are literally dropped from every social events. And I was 21, 22, so I was still quite young. I married at 18. I was married 5 years. Leave him. And it was all of a sudden, it was like being a teenager again, being left by your friends. So that really scarred me for a while. So I didn't want to have any intimate relationship with women for a very long time, because it was, the idea of being divorced meant I got dumped because I was seen as threatening now to their husbands. So yeah, it does. But the idea of being angry is never facilitated. So when my friends go, when they get divorced, I'm always like, okay then, let's bring the baseball bat out, because I know you're fucking pissed right now. Maybe I need to go to that shop and buy
dishes. All the crockery. Yes.
Crockery. I need to get crockery next.
We should have that, like, you know, like the soft play centres for children.
Yeah,
we need hard play centres for women. Like just fucking hard services and smashing things.
Yeah.
And a cafe. Yeah.
That sounds dreamy. Yeah. Like that Funhouse program that used to be on. I want that.
Yeah, yeah. Like It's a Knockout or something for angry women. It's wonderful.
Because I think it's interesting, Layla, that you said that loads of your friends dumped you. And I think from some of the people I've spoken to on the podcast, they're, it's definitely been a similar thing of people have lost friends over divorce, and also that people, and I've definitely felt this, that women I know who are in relationships start acting differently towards me because they think I'm a threat to their relationship. And I mean, I've said it before, but when you get divorced, you're like, I've just got rid of one.
It's like
I don't want another one.
Exactly.
Like, you're like, I literally don't even want to look at your other half. Like, I just want to be on my own and have a nice time. And when I got divorced, I was working on Magic Mike Live in the West End. So I was surrounded by lots of very lovely and also very toned semi-naked men and Channing Tatum. And I remember it's kind of, I wanted to talk about divorce cliches with you guys, because I think it is that divorce cliche of, I'm going to wear leopard print, I'm going to go out and get drunk, and I just want to be around beautiful men. So everyone was saying to me, oh my God, you're living the dream. Like, your job is like perfect as a divorce woman. But in reality, I just wanted to be at home with like some ice cream, dairy-free, because otherwise I fart, dairy-free ice cream, and like my friends and like close women and you know, my male friends as well, but like not be in a sexy environment, because I did not feel sexy at all. And although I do think the leopard print cliche is valid, because I feel like I've been waiting my whole life and storing up leopard print clothing for this time, and I'm so ready. Did you have any divorce cliches in your head that you felt like you didn't want to live up to, or actually you realized weren't a cliche, they were very real?
Yeah, because there are so many, isn't there? I think because it was during the pandemic, I wasn't in society, and it's the head tilt, I think, is the biggest cliche.
Oh yeah,
and there's other Dorseys in the audience. Is that the first time you see people? Because I would text people saying like, this is what happened, or I did a Facebook update, and they see you and they go, oh
yeah, that's a, yep. Oh boy, that head tilt.
That's where the anger comes from.
I think owning it is great. Going, I'm going to be okay. Look, it is shit. I'm drinking a lot. I took up smoking, which is a great idea. You know, all the cliches.
All the good things for you.
Yes. You know, the fag out the mouth in the back garden. I had a smoking jacket, as in like a a cheap jacket from Primark that smelt like fags. Obviously, I really hid it well from the kids, that I put on and then smoke it and then go back in the house. But yeah, I think that was the biggest cliche, is that everyone sort of felt sorry for me because, you know, he left, sort of thing. And that's what I wanted to kind of flip, is that like, no, I'm all right. I'm doing okay. And it's, yeah, so I think that was my main sort of thing. Because it is that British thing, is that everyone just feels awkward because it's bad news, isn't it? It's like marriage is a success, divorce is failure. But it feels like the other, right now, it feels like the other way around.
That's why we need to have divorce parties, so we can get rid of that whole, it's failure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's so interesting. Like, a couple of friends of mine got engaged recently, and obviously everyone's saying congratulations. And then, and I remember people getting engaged at the time I was getting divorced, and then being like, oh my God, congrats. And then going to me, I'm so sorry, how are you? And it's like, and I do think that's a weird phenomenon, because we congratulate people on someone else asking them to, you know, someone else asking them to get married, but they've been together for a long time. I feel like we should congratulate them when they say they love each other for the first time or something. And then when you get divorced, which is like a new chapter in your life, which is actually really exciting. Like, so many cool things have happened to me and in my life since I got divorced, and I feel like I know myself better, and I can actually say I'm pleased I'm getting divorced. But everyone automatically gives you commiserations, and you. But then I felt like I had to combat that with extra enthusiasm.
No, I'm happy.
Oh, I'm so sorry. No, don't be. I'm fine. I'm doing really well. I'm doing yoga, like doing great, like too much. But what do you say to those people? Who have you found a good reply to? Oh my God, I'm so sorry.
Oh no, usually I just say, I'm having a great time, I'm having lots of sex, and then they go, ah!
And then no, what happens to me, I actually stop going to family weddings now, because my ovaries are always up for a discussion in the middle of like dining. So, Leila, you only have... So the head tilt for me is not the divorce. It's the fact that I have a daughter. I don't have a son. Oh. You're divorced? I'm like, yes. And they're like, you have one child? Because Somalis, we have like 9, 11 kids. Like, the person with the minimum child is like 5. Like, that's like... She tried. You know, she only has 5. She tried it. 5. And when I say... They're like, you only have one? And I'm like, yes. And they're like, it's the daughter. Like... You only have a daughter? I'm like, yeah. And I literally picked up people's head tilts and turned it around. I was like, no, it's fine. I'm good. Like, it's great. Like, I'm fine. But it's the fact that it's okay to talk about my ovaries at a wedding.
Yeah, that's public property, isn't it?
Like,
yeah.
Literally just shows this part of my body doesn't even belong to me. It literally belongs to my family. If I'm not producing children, then I'm not coming up to their standards. I remember actually when... I presented this documentary for Channel 4. We were BAFTA nominated. Yay! Woo-hoo! Yeah, they didn't give a shit. It was like, do you have a husband? Was like the next question. Why are you going to do this without a husband? Was like from my auntie. It was like, oh, come on. Like, give me, like, be excited for me. You know, I'm going to the BAFTAs. You know, but it was literally everything came back to this part of my body. If it's not, if I'm not making children and it doesn't belong to a man, like that's, so for my own mental well-being, I actually stopped going to these, because my daughter was watching these conversations. I thought maybe this is not a healthy situation to be in, but it's because I'm divorced. And also we have this being eligible for a guy. So if you reach a certain age, now I'm like eligible for widowed men. I was like, you know, so-and-so's widowed now. Like I get that a lot.
Oh my God.
It's like, what about the 25-year-old Somali guy, you know?
Yeah.
No, it's like, no, his so-and-so is now widowed. Do you want to be his wife? Like, literally, I've lost the opportunity to marry other Somali guys. I'm only eligible for the widowed guy who's, like, 60. Like, it's that, yeah.
Lovely. Very tempting. Schedule that in.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'll schedule that in. I still have options.
Awesome. Yeah, you do. I think that's really interesting about other people discussing your ovaries.
Literally,
and obviously both of you had children from your marriages, and I don't have any children from my marriage. And it's not a decision I've made, like, that I don't want children. And it was something that we did discuss in the marriage. And I think it'd be interesting to hear from both of you how you coped with divorce and having children. And I think from my perspective, it is something people always say to me, oh, you're divorced. Do you have any children? And I say no. And they're like, oh, it'll be fine then. And I obviously understand that having children has its whole other world of things that come with it. But I do think when you're getting divorced at that age where you're still fertile, or people still believe that you're fertile, you know, you're in that age window as a woman, it is up for discussion with other people, and also the fact that you've shared this marriage with someone and children haven't come out of it, and maybe you're still considering having children, and that means your window is getting smaller, and if you're going to meet someone else, you know, that you feel the clock ticking. I think it is a really interesting area to be in, because I feel that people feel sort of extra sorry for me because I wasted some of my window with
your good years, Sam. Your good years.
My ovaries are deteriorating, and you know, it's not something that I feel sad about that I missed out on in my marriage at all. And obviously now I don't think it would have been right for us to have a child together. And it's not something that I've ruled out for the future, but I guess it's not something at the forefront of my mind. But I do think the whole children in divorce subject is a very interesting one, because I know you have two children and your little girl's quite old.
She's 18.
Older. Yeah.
I have an adult at home now. Yep.
But you, Helen, how have you dealt with it? Because obviously it's very raw still,
yeah,
6 months
yeah,
in.
Yeah, so they're 9 and 11. So yeah, they had to deal with a lot because, you know, 2 weeks before lockdown, you know, we sat them down and said we were separating, and then they couldn't see their friends, and we were doing homeschooling. I say homeschooling, we weren't. That's what we told the teachers. So they had two massive life changes all at once. But do you know what was the best thing? Was actually getting separated in lockdown, because I just sat with my children on the sofa and I was available for them 24 hours. And if they needed a cuddle, or if we just had to watch all of Disney Plus, if we had to watch all of the things, and if we just ate biscuits all day, that's what we did. And it was very healing. It was a really beautiful time, because we just reestablished ourselves as a family of three. And I just remember, we've got a lovely woods across the road from our house, and I just remember my son turning to me and he said, "I'm really glad lockdown happened, because this has been the happiest time of my life." And it was a really beautiful moment that we just had all the time that we needed, because I'm a comedian, and last year I did 105 live shows, so that was 105 nights I wasn't at home with my children. And it was a weird gift that when they needed me most, I was there whenever they you know probably whenever they needed an iPad or a biscuit. So I think that was good, because I just thought, God, if I did it the year before and then I was suddenly, you know, in Norwich for three nights or whatever doing a show, I think I would have felt fucking awful. And I think, yeah, so that for me has been great. And now, yeah, and I think, again, it was sort of a guess. Again, it was hard, but also we could talk about feelings all the time. So that was really good. And they're with me 5 days a week, and they're with their dad 2 days a week. So I like that balance, because I have them more of the time. And he's allergic to cats, so I got two kittens. And that's what we did when we sat down to say mummy and daddy are getting divorced. And then I said, "And mummy's getting your kittens." We're like, "Yay!"
I love that you did that.
Yeah.
It's like, fuck you in a nice way.
Yeah, it's
like,
great, yeah.
I love that your children are such a positive, and when we spoke on your episode of the podcast, your children are such a positive thing in your divorce experience. And yeah, it sounds like, you know, you all really been a unit and helped each other through, which I think is so
yeah,
nice.
And it's great. I just have loved that time for us to kind of reestablish ourselves. I think it's been really lovely that I barely worked. I'm in a double act, and I think Ellie did about 90% of the work for those first 3 months. She just carried it all. I think that was really good. So yeah, I don't know how I would have coped with it doing normal time, but that was really good. So yeah. That's what I would suggest, to sit in your pyjamas for about 3 months with your children eating biscuits. That's
lovely.
That's it. Yeah,
lovely.
Great. Yeah.
And Layla, you have an adult now, but obviously you were divorced quite a long time ago, so you were part of her kind of growing up.
Well, so the day I decided to leave him, next morning I found I was pregnant. So I was like, oh, fuck, I'm stuck with him now. Like, I remember literally having that. You know how when you get pregnant, you're like, woohoo, I'm pregnant. I was like, oh, fuck, I'm stuck with him. Like, that was my actual initial. But actually, she
is the catalyst of why I actually left that relationship, because it was, the relationship was already toxic, like, from day one. So I knew I could not bring her up in that environment. I had a very amazing dad who knew this was a toxic relationship that helped me get out of that situation. But my daughter, so he was so angry about the divorce that he didn't want to be involved. It was like he was rebelling. Luckily, I had great in-laws who were part of her life from day one, maintained that relationship. She only got to know her dad only 3-4 years ago. And she spent with him for the first time, I think only 2-3 years ago on a holiday. She got to know him. And do you want to hear the first thing she said to me? She came back to the hotel and she said, "Mom, I love you, but what the fuck were you thinking?" Yeah. How the fuck did you end up with him?
Like, and I said, "I'm sorry, I was the last teenager." Like, that was the only way. I said, don't make that mistake.
Because she literally could not believe. Because he is, like, very conservative. And I didn't, that's not how she was brought up. You know, she's a very proud Somali young woman, very British. You know, she was definitely brought up. And she literally said, "I know he's my dad, but what the fuck were you thinking?" She goes, "How the hell did you end up with this guy?" And I said, "Well, you know, I was a lost teenager." And I was very honest. I said, I was somebody who didn't like myself. Hence why I ended up with him. And we could have an honest conversation. I mean, now they have a very good relationship, which she played a big role in it, actually. She didn't want to hide who she was. She didn't want to pretend, you know, he loved her. I knew he was loved her, but it was something that she played a massive role in why, and him and I now have a much better relationship. It's difficult at times. He really does piss me off. I do send some, one of the most epic voice notes on WhatsApp, and that's what's so great about WhatsApp. You could go fucking like literally. And I do that with her permission. Can I cuss him out tonight? And she goes, "Yeah, go ahead." Like, I do it with her permission. So it's a challenge, because I never wanted to use my child to attack him. I never wanted to do it. And a lot of divorced parents do that. I really cannot. Please don't do that, because what you're doing is you're hurting your child. I loved her so much that I couldn't be mad at him. Because no matter how terrible your partner is, that child still loves that person, regardless.
And they are half of that person.
Absolutely. And so you cannot. Yeah. You can't. Literally, it's heartbreaking when I see people going through divorces and when their child is used as a weapon. And I loved her so much, I couldn't do it. I even got her one of those in the early 2000s, like BT was doing this good deal where you can call different countries around the world for a certain price. I'm like, "There you go, here's a phone." Because he lived in the US. I go, "This is where your dad lives. You can call him, blah, blah, blah." So I wanted to make sure. I never wanted her to think for one second I wanted to get in the way of that relationship. And now, as an adult, she would say to me, "I really appreciate that. I appreciate that you never got in the way of that relationship." So she can come up to that decision for herself. I don't have to do that. So I think it's important, because it hurts the child. And I've seen that happen over and over again. So I commend my parents who said to me, "Do not put her in the middle of this." Because, you know, you are pissed off when you go through a divorce and cheating was involved. And, like, you just want to fuck them up. But my mom was like, "There's a baby here. You have to focus on this one now." And actually, she made me be a bit sane, I have to say. Yeah. It's not fun co-parenting.
I would
for everybody.
Recommend cats, because I can 100% put my cat in the middle and be like, "Your daddy isn't very nice." She doesn't mind. So we don't have long left. I wanted to open it up for questions, if any of you have any. That would be lovely. And then we've got a little game to play at the end.
A game.
So I think we've got a question here. So there are rules here, people. So please keep your mask on whilst asking the question. And please don't touch the microphone.
Okay.
Okay.
How fun.
Yes,
today.
I had to be very clear. So someone down here, down
lady,
the, front
the lovely lady
the
in the spot.
Yeah.
Hello.
You very beautifully leaned into that microphone and not touched it in any way. Thank you very much.
I've got a number of friends who were together for quite a long period of time with their partners, and then they got married and it ended very quickly. And I'm just wondering whether for some people, like, something changes mentally at that point. Do they stop checking in? Just wonder what your thoughts were.
Yeah, so people—that's people being together for a very long time and then getting married, and it ends quite quickly, which is me. and does something change in your mind when you get married? And does
but do,
I think those people have always known they should not be with that person. I knew the day I was getting married, I shouldn't have been in that marriage, but I just didn't have the guts to say it. Like, I remember being at the hairdresser getting my hair done. I'm like, I really should not get married. I know I shouldn't. Like, but I still did it. So they kind of always know by the time they come to that decision, it's like, it's done. Like, I don't think someone just makes that decision like within a day. I think you know it's been coming for a while.
And also, I think a lot of it comes down to self-esteem. And there's two things. It's like, will anyone else love me? And I want to be married. I want to be a wife. And I think, you know, that is a huge pressure that we put on ourselves, is that like, I want to say that I'm loved. I want, you know, the symbol of marriage is that someone else wants me, so that therefore I'm valued, therefore I've got this status. So I think you are very good at ignoring the little niggly things, like, oh, I'll put up with that, I'll put up with that, I'll put up with that, that's okay. And then when you get out of it, you go, fuck, I was really sad, I was really miserable, that was really shit. And like, your scale, you actually have a much more sort of honest conversation with yourself about what you want. So I think there's so much of, you know, when you've got low self-esteem, you will put up with shit because you just don't want to face the other side.
I mean, I would actually disagree with Layla in my own experience, because I would say that on my wedding day, I absolutely fully wanted to marry my husband-to-be, and I was very happy and thought everything was going to be beautiful. And I think I definitely looked, we were quite obsessively in love, and I definitely overlooked a lot of red flags, but I was fully convinced, you know, on that day I had no second thoughts, and I was like, this is the happiest day of my life. I think what changed for me, rather than the marriage, was my dad dying and losing a parent, and then going through counselling for my grief, which then, you know, stirred up so much about other elements of my life, and I learned a lot about myself, and I kind of that grief helped me move forward quite a few strides, maybe more than he had moved forward with getting to know himself. And I think it was that process that actually made me realize where I was and what I wanted and what I needed. So I'm a bit of a strange one, but I don't think it was the marriage. But I think for some people, I definitely felt, and I know other people have spoken about this on the podcast, that you're up until the marriage, everything's an upward trajectory. So it's all like exciting, and you meet for the first time and you like them, and then you have sex for the first time, and then you talk about moving in together, and then you find someone, you move in together, and then you meet the parents, maybe before you move in together. And it, you know, but it's all these little things, and then you're like, oh, they might propose. When will they propose? Go on your first holiday, then they propose. And it's all leading up to, we're going to get married and we're going to buy a house and we're going to have a family. You know, and whether you actually want those things or not, because I don't think I actually ever wanted those things, but I thought that that's what you did in life. And then you get married, and we bought a house, and we were talking about having children, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, this is what I was supposed to want. Like, this is it now. And there's no more do this next. And then you actually have to live the thing that you thought you wanted. And so I think sometimes that can be the switch for people to go, maybe not. Thank you, bye. does that answer your question? Any other questions? Anyone want to marry anyone on the panel?
An auction,
yes.
And now we'll auction off Ellen and Layla. Yeah.
Oh, there is
back.
Someone.
Yeah.
There we go. It's a statement.
More of a statement.
Yeah. Feel free to state as much as you like.
No, I just wanted to say, as a perpetually single person on the other side of the coin, I find that really, it's really good to hear, because I think we all, societally as a system, we're always looking towards marriage and babies, and that's the only thing there is, and even if it's not that explicit, that is what you're working towards. And I grapple with that daily, and actually hearing that from you, saying when you sit with it and that's, you've achieved it, and then you go, oh, what's left? Or is this the pinnacle? Is this it? That, thank you. It was very it was good to hear. It was really yeah, it was great to hear. Thank you.
I'm so glad. And I think that is so true. I think we've got one more question. But I would say a friend of mine said, oh my God, I'm getting older and I haven't got married and I don't have a house and I don't have any children. And I said to her really honestly, like, those were all the things I thought I wanted. And then I got there and I was like, oh my God, I don't want any of these things. And then it was like, I had to think, actually, what do I want just for me as a human and sort of start again now I'd got that stuff out of the way. So yeah, absolutely. Thank you for that. I think we've got a question.
My question is, would any of you ever get married again?
Deborah Crofts is white from the Guilty Feminist.
I have recognized that mask.
Intakes and breath. Yeah.
I'm not against marriage. I think I actually like to be in a committed relationship where I'm having fun and we can have organized sex and all that fun stuff and go to therapy. But it has to be both, I think. I guess I'm not into your usual relationship, I think, way. I don't know if that makes sense. But for me, it's, yeah.
I think that'd have to be pretty fucking special for me to do it all again. I think I compromised so much and realised that, you know, I've overlooked so many faults and things like that. I think that would have to be amazing for me to want to, yeah, to
the
give.
The question is, what do you want? It's my favourite question on a first date. What do you want from this? Please, let's talk about it. They're like, ah.
Because now it doesn't feel like I'm adding anything. Now it feels like if I got married again, it would be taking away things like my freedom and I like being in my house by myself and all that sort of stuff. So it feels like a massive, it would be a compromise again.
But if I ever got married again, we have to live in two separate homes. That's the only way we're going to survive.
Yes, of course, yeah. Like Helena Bonham Carter and Tim Burton.
Oh, I think it's overrated sleeping with somebody 24 hours, like every night. Like, it's not for me. Those of you who do it, well done. I couldn't do it.
No.
I couldn't do it.
Well, I would 100% get married several more times. because I think, honestly, if none of you have ever got married, your wedding day is so fun. It's like all the people you love in a room looking at you. I mean, I am an actor and comedian, so I do love that. But all the people like celebrating you, doesn't matter about your other half, mainly you. And you get to wear a really lovely dress and have some lovely food and have a really nice time. So I think weddings are the best. So maybe I'll just have lots of weddings rather than full marriages.
There you go.
Yeah.
But I would genuinely consider getting a prenup next time. And I know that's like not romantic, but I just think
that's a very smart thing to do.
That's a shitty
to do that.
Yeah.
And if you can put any protection on that when you're both kind of being sensible and be fair about it, I would definitely do that. Mm. Well, thank you for your questions. I think just before we end, I've written some, I've come up with a little game that we can end on.
Excellent.
So, it's basically Would You Rather, but I've renamed it I Do and I Do Not.
Hey,
you know, weddings, get it?
I've seen,
so,
yep.
So there's an A and a B, and I'll ask our lovely panel, and then we can do a hands raised in the audience as well. So would you, I do, or I do not, A, get divorced tattooed on your forehead, or B, be a handmaid in The Handmaid's Tale? Helen.
I get
tattooed on my forehead. Yeah.
Definitely tattoo on the forehead.
Tattoo the forehead.
Yeah. Own it.
Tattoo the forehead.
Yeah.
Just be honest about
audience
it.
Audience, hands up for tattoo on the forehead.
Oh yes, full.
Okay. Oh, not everyone. Okay. And B, hands up for being a handmaid and The Handmaid's Tale.
No.
Just Deborah Frost's white shouting. No.
Good.
Okay, let's go for a little bit, maybe more fun one. I do not. A, cook dinner for your ex every day, even though you've broken up. Or B, give them a blowjob once.
Oh.
To torture him, cook for him every day. I wouldn't give him a blowjob like that. No way.
No, I'd do the blowjob. Just
no,
get it done.
No,
get
I'm
it
not
done.
Doing a blowjob.
Get
no.
it done.
I'd do the blowjob too.
No. Yeah.
Audience?
Obviously, no one would be forced to do a blowjob in this situation. you would have
it's
to consent, and
yes,
they would have to consent
fine,
to the blowjob. But I do the blowjob.
Yeah.
Get it done. I like that.
Get it done.
Also, I'm an awful cook.
Oh my God, I thought you said you're awful at blowjobs.
I'm awful at blowjobs.
So I was going to say it, then I thought, nah, I'm not going to say this.
Okay, I'm trying to think of a good one to end on. This is, some of these are awful. I can't believe I wrote these. Should we do an awful one?
Yeah, go on. Go on, Samantha.
Oh, God.
I do not. A, kick a dog.
What?
Kick a dog.
Kick a dog.
Yeah, or B, remarry your ex.
That's me.
I told you it was awful.
Oh, no.
I can't kick
so if I kick the dog... Just a little bit.
you can't do it a little bit.
That's not nice.
That's why, because it's hard.
That's mean.
So hard. Even in the audience, like, oh my God.
That's harsh and mean. I can't kick a dog.
How long would the wedding take place? Like, you know, you wouldn't have to do the full
can
blown.
Is there a door I can exit after we get married?
Oh my God. Can't kick a dog.
I know.
That's mean.
So hard. Ask us a more fun question. That's mean.
I told you it was awful, and you were like, yes,
that's
do an
mean.
Awful one.
I didn't think it was a kicking a dog.
What?
Give a blowjob. That's
not
part of the option. Give a blowjob and kick the dog.
Well,
give the dog a blowjob.
That's
illegal.
See, I will give a blowjob at that point. Kick a dog or blowjob, I'll give a blowjob.
Okay.
Yeah.
Should we move on from that one?
Yeah.
Erase that from my memory.
I've loads of these are really
you know
bad.
After this podcast no one's going to marry us.
Okay, would you,
no one's asking to marry us.
Would you rather attend your ex's wedding on your own, so to their new wife, or go on the hen do of their new wife, it, considering your other
hen-do.
Halves are heterosexual?
I'll go to the hen do.
I'll go definitely to the hen do.
Yeah, it's more
absolutely.
Fun.
Yeah.
That's the strategy
the
you should always have. Befriend
the
other woman.
I wouldn't want to be near the other person, whether it's a man or woman, and all their close friends when they're drunk. Imagine what they could say. I'd go to the wedding.
I reckon they'd be more afraid of what you would say. That's yeah. why I think you're in the power play. You've got hand in that situation.
So Helen, the hen do you in a position where the wedding might not even happen, just saying.
So yeah. Helen, I do go to the hen do.
Yeah.
Hen do.
Layla, I do wedding. In the audience, hands up for I do hen do. Oh, okay. Lots of people.
Oh, this is like Brexit.
Well, someone's very excited about that option. Hands up, I do wedding. Yay. Okay. And we're going to end with one final lovely one as we've ended our time.
Well, let's see until you say it.
I do not. A, I'm glad I'm divorced. B, I'm not glad I'm divorced.
I'm happily divorced.
Yeah,
so happy.
We're happy we're divorced. Thank you so much, my brilliant panel. Thank you. Can you just tell everyone where they can follow you on social media before we leave?
Okay, I'm at Scummy Mummies, and we have a podcast, and we're doing live shows currently. Thanks, Boris. And do follow me. I also have a body positivity account called Helen Wears a Size 18, and I have a podcast called Fat Lot of Good.
Oh my God, come with me, Layla.
Such a show off.
Instagram, Facebook, Twitter at Layla Hussein. That's it. And currently, so during lockdown and COVID, as you know, it's mainly killed Black and ethnic minority groups, specifically since Black Lives Matter. Black women have been left behind, as you can see with the Breonna Taylor case. The neighbors got justice and she didn't. So we have been very vocal about Black women being left behind. We started a space called Safe Space for Black Women, and we actually started a fundraiser yesterday. We hired many psychotherapists to support. We have many women who log into these calls every week now. We have three, we run three sessions a week, and women are logging in, but we need to keep the space going. So if you go on my page on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, if you can share, it's so difficult to ask for people during lockdown for money because people have lost, you know, their jobs. But if you can just share that page with others, because this space is so needed even more now than ever. I'm so grateful I even came to this session today because it felt so nice just to talk about something else and not talk about
black people dying or being killed. So, yeah. So, if you can do that. Well, what a great way to end this session now.
Definitely support that. Yes, and please follow the London Podcast Festival. And thank you to Deborah Francis-White and the Girls of Feminist for being on their special day. And I will be selling books outside. Yay! If anyone wants one, silly comedy poetry books. And please do tweet about the Divorce Club and listen and tell all your friends how great divorce is. Yay! Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Oh, hi. Thank you for listening to The Divorce Social with me, Samantha Baines. Please leave us a review. Please, please. It would be super nice. They're lovely to read. They keep me cheery and happy and keep me going. But also, it affects our listing in the podcast charts, which are very important because that's how more people find the podcast. And I'd love to help more people get through those really tough heartbreak and divorce times. And they're more likely to find us if we're higher up on the charts. So if you'd like to leave a review, I'd love you forever. You can leave them on iTunes is the big one, or most podcast platforms do them as well. I'll take all the reviews you've got to give. You can also get in contact on Twitter and Instagram at DivorcePod and at Samantha Baines. We have a website, thedivorcesocial.com, and we have a Patreon account, which means that you can support the podcast for as little as £2 a month. And it helps me with all the admin costs. It also means you have access to our 90s style divorce and heartbreak chat room. And there's lots of exclusives on there, little bits of audio that you don't get in the main podcast, and some giveaways as well. So I'd love to see you over on Patreon. That's patreon.com/Samantha Baines. And please leave a review. Did I say that already? Please leave a review. Love you forever.